Bruchim Aboyim to the fifth and the continual Shiurim on the philosophy, the Ashkafa, the theology of the Rabbeinu Halesher. We are in the Sefer entitled Hakdamas U'Sha'orim, where the Leshem is presenting to us the fundamentals of his ontology. And last time, I ended off in a flurry in the last 5 to 10 minutes. I'm sorry it went so quickly, but I was given a warning that I only had 10 minutes left. But so I think actually we'll go back over that section because it was actually quite crucial. But let's, if we're going to go back already, let's go back over to some of the points and, you know, that the Leshem, in fact, has established. The Leshem in Shaar Beis speaks about the fundamental concepts of what's called his pashtus v'histalkus, meaning that there's a process of literally means his pashtus histalkus means expansion, and I shouldn't call it contraction, but expansion. Going downwards in a certain sense, a descent, and then there's an elevation. In other words, there is a descension and ascension. Hispashtus literally means spreading out. Histalkus means removal. So you can call it a process of expansion and removal, but I think here it really means a type of we would call descension and ascension. In any case, it's a process by which there's a by which the initial worlds, the more spiritual worlds, expand and descend and create more physical worlds. But through this dialectical process of expansion and then ascension, so basically while there's a expansion on the more physical realm, there's still a connection that exists on what you would call the more spiritual world. The Leshem uses the terms chomer v'tzura, matter and form, or he says alternatively guf v'nefesh. So in this way, you have this dialectic between matter and form, between body and soul, between the physical and the spiritual, and that creates a process by which, on one hand, despite the expansion of matter, there's a continued connection with forms which are located in the higher realms. So the Leshem goes on and says that this process is continual. In fact, not only is it continual, that in fact, what's interesting, the Leshem says is, it is not only a one-dimensional process. In other words, in the first parak of the Leshem understood the process basically to be one-dimensional, meaning, like I explained, actually, descension and ascension. Basically, from a higher world, the substance, which is a combination of chomer tzura, according to the Leshem, and this is actually the Rambam too, matter and form are, in a certain sense, inseparable. Even though conceptually we can posit the distinction between matter and form, nonetheless, in practice, there is no form without matter. There's no matter without form. So in Perek Aleph, in the first chapter, the Leshem basically understood a way in which, in fact, actually there's a descension, means that that the process of creation continues from the higher to the lower realms, which means there's an expansion. The matter form of the higher world becomes much more form-like as it expands into the lower worlds, but through the process of histalkus, of ascension of the form dimension, which is not included in the expansive matter which expanded in the first part of the process. So basically, the form, in a certain sense, removes itself, ascends again, and then is able to readmit itself, so that the lower matter can receive, in fact, actually higher form. So therefore, basically, what we have is that despite the fact that the process, the evolution of realities becoming more and more physical, it expands out, nonetheless, there's a retention of the higher forms. In other words, nothing is lost. No, there's no form information lost in the process. This is basically what the Leshem said in the first chapter. Now, in the second chapter, the Leshem goes on, and what he does in the second chapter, in my opinion, is he takes this one-dimensional process and actually makes it multidimensional. There's a what's called a hiskalus and hiskashlus, an interconnection of all aspects of the physical spiritual realm. So he says on I'm now on Daf Ches, which is in Arabic numerals, page 15. I'm in the second column, right in the middle. Ki el shahaya kol nimtza mufod mekoyrei hein bechoymei hein betzulasoi. So in other words, it could possibly be that through this process of expansion, you would have things which are separated from other, you know, from the higher forms or the higher forms of matter. In other words, basically, if this process didn't continue, so therefore, once there's an expansion, a descent, so therefore, the lower matter and even lower forms would actually be, in a certain sense, disconnected. Or if not disconnected, at least they you know, there wouldn't be a constant process where they would remain static. There would be no change of form and shape of the lower form. It was the lower forms, once they're created, stay the way they are. In other words, there isn't a continual process. So basically, the law of inertia kicks in and they stay stationary without any change. In other words, any change that takes place as a leshem only comes because of a cause. In other words, so if the lower forms are removed or now not being directly affected by the higher forms, so the lower forms would stay the same. There wouldn't be any change in them. So therefore, because of that, the world would stay in the same state. In other words, once the lower forms are formed, and the creation of lower forms was a one-time event, and now we've created lower forms with lower matter with its own forms. It was a one-time event. The lower forms of the world would stay the same. There wouldn't be a change in the world. But that was Kodesh Baruch Hu's intention. But rather, he says, I'm skipping over six down lines. The intention of God in all the worlds, whether in general, whether in particular, God did not want the world to be static in any way. He didn't want them to stay the way they are. God forbid. Well, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Kol koyakim yuzish kol achad kosher tolei le'olam, rak lemaila v'chol olam es kulam em kulam kshurim v'tulim zebaze le'el le'ela ad elav atzmi's balk shemayim." Basically, what happens is that every aspect, every detail of every world is connected with every other aspect and detail of every world. It's all the world, all of reality is interconnected. And of course, it's interconnected not only horizontally on every level, it's interconnected vertically. In other words, according to the Leshem, all of reality is completely interconnected. And of course, this reaches to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mishkochim kulam tamed rak imenu, umenayim kulam tamed rak ayodoy. And therefore, in a certain sense, providence acts directly on every aspect of the entire world, right? Because ultimately, everything gets its ultimate strength and source of existence from Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu himself is he who gives life to the world, to all the worlds. Kodesh Baruch Hu is always acting. In other words, Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing as a Kodesh Baruch Hu standing still. In any sense of the word. Kodesh Baruch Hu is always acting, always creating, like the Rambam says. Kodesh Baruch Hu is an intellect completely, to use the Pinnis expression, in actu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is always thinking, always working, always creating. So if everything is interconnected and everything is connected with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu is always active, we spoke about the right? So therefore the world is always active. In fact, let's even go further. The Leshem Shitasai. The Leshem said that the Ikka, the main, the central description, quote unquote, of God's activities is in the present tense. Hoiveh. Even though this higher, hoiveh v'yeh, this is the first part of the lesson that we did, the main description of God is Hoive. The present. The present, right, of course, is the very meaning of activity. The past existed. The past always remains what it is, at least pre-quantum mechanics. The future doesn't exist yet, so my vision of the future can remain the same, conceptually. But the present, by definition, changes. Because the present, by definition, is a different present every second. So the essence of God, according to Rabbeinu HaLeshem, is Hoive, constantly changing. And all the worlds are completely interactive, interconnected, and they all draw their strength from God. So, as God always changes, kivyachol, every part of the universe is always interchanging. Is always moving and changing.
You could accomplish this with just vertical connections, though. You don't even have a dome.
So I want to claim, though. You could accomplish this like this, but in other words, first of all, two things. Number one is that it is true you can accomplish this with vertical. However, first of all, the language of the Leshem, in other words, if there exists something called horizontal, then it has to be changing too by definition. So in other words, the only question is the world only one-dimensional? Well, the fact is that this is not Chassidus, we believe in a physical world. The physical world is horizontal, so it must be that there is a notion of horizontal in all the worlds too, as we'll see Mirat Hashem in the next chapter. So therefore, the point is that the fact that I even can conceive of horizontalness means that horizontalness must exist and therefore has to be changing. What I'm saying is, if you deny that the world is more than one dimension, so therefore we're only speaking about one dimension. But if you accept the fact that it does exist, in fact, more than one dimension, I say this at least conceptually, I can imagine, I can postulate x1, x2, greater than one, greater than one. So therefore, because of that, there's more than one dimension. Because of that, there's also changing too. In any case, the point is, yeah.
When we say God is, the Rav put in kaviyachol.
Right.
Because God doesn't change. But it's the lesson thing that God does change.
Mitzideinu. In other words, Mitzideinu, as God creates the world. Right.
It's talking about Mitzideinu.
Right, Mitzideinu. Right, for sure. No question about it. That's called Hoive. By definition, in fact, even if I want to say that God doesn't change, but the Hoive is God's Bria, it's creation. So Mitzideinu, from our standpoint, God is always Hoive, which means there's always a different God. Every second, a different God. In other words, God is always changing. So because of that, for that reason I said it. Now, okay, so now, what do we get? So we get here important things, because as we said before, we get that every aspect of the world, number one, is connected, and number two, the world is constantly changing. Right? That's what he says. The world never stays in one stage at all. It's not even 1 second. It's always changing. I'm on the last three lines at the end of the second column. It never stays stationary. The world is constantly changing, and every aspect of the world not only is changing, but is connected. Of course, that's very important. Okay, now, so therefore, if we turn over now on Daf Ches, literally speaking, Ches, I would call it Ches Amud Gimel, page 16. So if we go about 10 lines down, he spoke about the descension and ascension. Things are constantly going up and down. His pashtus, his chalkus. Kipam is alat chunasa be'ilei rav, upam yeredes madragesa, v'nigam imarach, imatim harbe. It's constant ascension, constant descension. V'adezem is chalif o'eva kol nimtze shinuyim rabim. So everything always goes through many changes. V'ipu'ula tomid, this is incessant changing in the world. V'akolu bashkocha van hoga el yoyno, v'kabeles koma shenigza leb, v'yapulet sashinuyim ayidei surosam, shari koyach shal is avusa v'chusa, Hanisha v'oimid l'mayla dover peshosha eljoin. So in other words, the reason, the kosher le'el le'el, in other words, says the Leshem, the fact is that ultimately change comes because things are constantly receiving new forms, different tzuras. That's what he says. B'pula tamid v'akolu mashkocha van hoga eljoin, u'makabeles kol v'shenik zaleh mi'apulei sashonim ayidei tzurosa. In other words, it's really tzura that causes the change. What happens is, chaymen tzura, form and matter, reaches out, this is pashtos, And then the tzula part of it, the form part of it, goes back up. That's his dalgos. And it comes back in again and creates kiviyachol, right, a renewed or expanded tzula, expanded form. So in other words, basically the fact is that even though form is inseparable from matter, and form acts upon matter, the fact is that what drives the change is really increasing tzula. In fact, actually, the change is really, in a certain sense, synonymous with the concept of form, of tzula. Because the tzula is constantly changing, there's a constant acting of tzula on matter, of form on matter, right? Tzula goes out, leaves a certain matter, goes back in again, and then, once again, acts again upon matter. So there's a constant dialectic between form and matter, matter, form, which becomes matter, then a new form comes and further changes it. And this is a constant process. Right? Okay, so Kodesh Baruch is always changing, and this changes intention. Okay, now, the fact is, what's the purpose? So we know that Kodesh Baruch Hu, through his providence, drives this process, this dialectic between form and matter, which are inseparable, but the changing, which is chiefly due to the higher forms in relationship to the lower matters, is in this constant flux, constant process. Now, in about 10 lines after that, he says, V'na'ayidezen is dake chumriyusam. Says Elisha, what's the purpose of it? Well, no, is this not just chaos? This is not entropy. What's the purpose of all these changes? So says the Lashem, Hinei Ayidezeh Mizdakech Humri Yusam. What happens is, the Chayma, the matter, becomes less matter-like. It's made purer. V'nikshorem Mizachtim Kol Pritya Metzius Kulum Zebazeh. There's more, all the details become more connected one to another. Zebazeh. The cool up, okay, now, so it was basically, what's the purpose is? His stuff, because things become, let's say, more spiritual in a certain sense. Because as form constantly acts more upon matter which is created, the matter becomes increasingly spiritual, becomes more form-like, as we explained. And also, too, in other words, what's the concept of form? You see, form can be applied to several matters. The difference between form and matter is form, in a certain sense, an idea, right, can apply to do different matters. So what happens is form acts more upon matter. The different details of matter become more connected. So this process continues. And as a result of the process, the world becomes, let's say, more form-like, which according to Levin is more nefesh-like, more spiritual-like. And therefore, the physical world becomes much more spiritualized, right? And says the Leshem, Vaydezem is ala lemadrega. And therefore, things go up from one level to a level. There's an ascension of levels. Vitukdu kulam. And all of them, therefore, are perfected, are completed, are rectified. Aydei ha'adam. Through man. It was man is, in a certain sense, a party to this process. Shebot toli tikun akol ha'alois, imo lamayla lamayla, because man can perfect things and rectifies things, and everything can go up higher and higher. L'makayim ha'rishom sheloichem isham. In other words, basically, and he goes on and says how really man participates in this ascension. In other words, it's interesting. Not only is everything connected and driven by God, but in fact, the process is somehow completed and finalized by man, who is engaged, who takes part in this connecting the different parts of nature, different parts of the world, and therefore raising it spiritually. So we see over here. Yeah.
Does that mean the Chomer connect to the Tzura?
Man will connect the Chomer more to the Tzura. In other words, basically the interconnectedness of the different parts of the world which means the greater forming of the tzuraizing of the chayimim, making the chayimim more tzura like, making the matter more form like. This is actually done by man. I mean, man participates in this process.
God's making the world gashmi, yes, and man's making the world.
Well, yes. There seems to be two processes. That's what I want to claim. It seems the Leshem is that man is imitating God. Just, in other words, just like there's a process of his pashtus, his talkus, which says the Leshem comes about through God's providence, so too also man also participates in the process where there's a increasing union and interconnectedness of the world, which also in fact actually, right, seems to have the same goal. In other words, man is acting in parallel to God, just like God more intellectualizes more the world, converts matter into form, connects the disparate parts. One second.
God's turning form into matter.
Form into no. That's the first process. Once again, no. You're a step behind me.
Sorry.
First, there's his pashus and his talkus.
Right.
But the fact is that the world is becoming increasingly more spiritual, is being mizdakech more. The world has become much more spiritualized. First, there's a expansion which creates matter, but then there's a compression or an ascension which takes this matter and makes it more spiritual.
God's doing.
That process is directed by God's providence. However, man is also directing a similar process. Maybe he's part of the same process. Man also is interconnecting parts of the world, and he's also driving this process too. In other words, man is acting just like God acts, just like God directs through providence a natural process of expansion and ascension, the purpose of which is to actually spiritualize the world more and more. So too, man also participates in this process, and he too, by interconnecting the different parts of the world, we'll see through Torah and mitzvahs, through the activities which are uniquely human, man also drives a similar type of process, or perfects this process. Yeah.
Rabbi Truitz is claiming the two processes, or the man's actions direct man, God's...
I'm going to read a little while. Basically, it would seem, right. What?
No.
One second. Forget about the Nefesh HaChayim. We're learning the lesson now.
So I'm saying, the man...
In other words...
God's doing one thing, man's doing something different.
Right, in other words, God, it turns out, so like this, I want to read the lesson now. The lesson says... Aydezeh, through this process, up to now he hasn't spoken about man yet. Aydezeh mizdakech hum risayim v'nikshorem mizachtem b'chol pritim etzitz klumazeh v'kulam v'adam. In other words, this process takes place through the agency of man. Be'adam. Shu mivcha kol ha'yitzur. Man is the choices of all of creation. V'aydezeh mizalam mitlagel ha'madrei. In other words, God has created a process, but the chief actor, the agent of this practice is man. The agent of this practice is man. In other words, the connections, in theory, are divinely ordained by divine providence. But who drives this process? Through which medium is this process driven? It's driven through man. That's what the Leshem is saying. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing the world to perfection. But who's the shliach? Who's the person? What is the agency through which this perfection is taking place? And it's man. Man is the agent who is in fact bringing the world to its divine perfection. Okay? So in other words, even though the general plan and the connectedness is divine through divine providence, but the means by which this process continues and brings the world to its perfection is man. Now, it's very interesting. I want to read a slightly different version of this. I'm sure I mentioned this in a previous year in the Sefer Klolim, because actually it turns out that the Leshem says, Kemoshe bi'anu shom kol zeh, the Leshem refers to a Sefer Klolim. The Leshem in Sefer Klolim, this is on Daf Samachay, Amud Gimel, in the Leshem Shavoy, the Sefer Klolim, There the Lashem raises a stela. First of all, he brings a dispute between the Rambam and the Meir Nevuchim, and between the Meir Gabay in the Sefer Havodas Halev. We know that the Rambam was attacked. The Rambam's rationalism was a subject of attack. I mean, there have been repeated attacks upon the Rambam through history. The first attack was the Havodas Halev of Ibn Gabay. This was after that came the Maharal. After that, we come until today. The Rambam is constantly being attacked or misinterpreted, which is another way of attacking him. The Rambam says in Chayla Gimel, Perak Yud Gimel, in the Mordei Nevuchim, the Rambam says there, the world doesn't have a purpose. The world has no purpose. If you ask what the purpose of man, what's the purpose of creation? There's no purpose. You can't say God created the world for this. Even says the Rambam, you can't even say God created the world for man. He's created for the man. So what did he create man for? Create man that he should serve him. What should he serve him? So the Rambam basically says, and as we discussed this a little bit in the lectures, you can look at shkofacircle.com on the Tamiya Mitzvahs, that you can't say that there's a purpose of creation. And Ibn Gabay shouted at the Rambam, Shrek, it's like science. It's cold. Where's your Hamishkeit? Where's your Yiddishkeit? Of course the creation is for man. The Lashem says Ibn Gabay is wrong. What are you talking about? Of course the Rambam is correct. Why is Rambam correct? Because if the purpose of creation is man, so why is there only man? Why did God create all things other than man? But in other words, I mean, we have to understand that it must be that every part of creation is essential. You can't say, why did man, God create the man, not the grass? There must be a reason for God creating the grass too. You can't say, God had no reason for creating the grass. So in other words, the Lashem rejects Ibn Gabay, and he opts for what? He opts for the Meir Nevuchim. Okay? We've explained many times that this is the, this of course is the Leshem's general shita. If you look in the back of your Hakdamas HaShu'ulam, Lekutim there, it says on Daf Kuv Dalet, Amud Dalet, page 208, the very, very last paragraph of Daf, that says the Leshem, every word of the Rambam and the Vulchem are true, but it's before the Tzimtzum. It's true. The Rambam is true. Now, but says the Lashem, I don't think so. Because on Daf Sabbath Vav Ben Aleph, he brings Chazals, Zoyas, Goins. The purpose is man. The purpose is man. The purpose of creation is man. So he says the Lashem, I'm on Sabbath Vav, the last paragraph of Ben Aleph, in the Sefer Klolot. The depth of the Indian, the depth of this matter, I'm saying briefly, including here too. The whole Matzias, everything that exists, all of ontology, everything that is, which is. This is the spashes of Malchus. This is spashtus, as Rashi says. Right? Okay? And this happens, right? That's to be a perfection, a spiritualization of matter. This is what he said over here too. Everything has to connect with the spiritual part, with its spirituality. The world is constantly being spiritualized. Form, matter is being turned into form. Everything becomes one. Every lower madrega goes back up. First it went down, now it's going to go back up. And every lower world goes to every higher world. This is the movement of history. And everything connects, it's horizontal. Not only vertical, but horizontal. Until they come to the first shailesh, the first source. which is Malchus Tatzilos, he says, whatever that means, who knows Kabbalah. And then he says, and that's the whole say, that took a tikkun to Torah and Yisrael. Who's energizing? Who's driving this? It's Yisrael and the Torah to the Torah. The Jewish people through what? Through acting, okay, and through learning Torah and through mitzvah, and they're driving this entire thing. So therefore, what's Leshem saying? Leshem saying is who drives this entire ontological ascension, which constitutes the essence of what history is, none other than man, Yisrael, through Torah and mitzvahs. I would emphasize Torah.
How is it different than the Ramchal?
Forget about the Ramchal. Let's forget about that. That's
why isn't that?
How's it different? Ramchal. There's no room for man in Ramchal. In the Ramchal and Das Tavunas, there's like 2-3 lines which says the man pursues the perfection. According to the Ramchal, there's an automatic machine that's working, and man occasionally like feeds into it. In the Ramchal, in Das Tavunas, the word Bechir appears, I think, 2 times in the entire Sefer. The Ramchal is God-oriented, and he throws a few crumbs to man. The Leshem, the entire thing is being driven by man. And this is something which I... This is something, right, which I mentioned, is that the essence here of the Leshem is that man is acting like God. Material Dei. This is actually, we see this very often, we see very much so in the But who's driving this process? Man's driving the process. And the Ramchal and Das Tavunas, the Ein Sof is basically funneling things in, and things are going up by themselves. Man basically has a part of this, but you know something? If man doesn't operate, it drives by itself. In the Leshem, things are driven only by man. The connections and the entire ontological outlay through divine providence, but it's man who drives this process. It's a man-centered universe in this sense. Ramchal is a God-centered universe. It's an illusion. It doesn't really exist. It's only God. It's a simple look of Shuddha. I'm going to go further. I'm going to mother Ramchal.
Why isn't that?
So let me finish now. So the fact is that Hereg al-Ha'ikar is Rak Yisrael Vater Levant. Ikar Yisrael Vater. That's all it is.
Where's God?
I don't know.
So, right, you break Chul Chazim.
Hey, Machba Shirak, Haim! Only the Jewish people! Mesayvim is called Dachiat Tikkun. The Tikkun reclamation only comes through Yisrael. L'chol HaMetzias called the entire Metzias. Hey, Machba Shakol Tikkun, Dachlis HaMeikur HaMiti, L'chol HaMetzias Kula, Hinei Hurak La'alaisam, L'yachtam, etc. So the Ba'or Yisrael! V'yachaka Kulam Ba'or HaTeira! That's a lesson. Okay, now. Up till now, yeah.
With regard to the machlokes between the Ibn Gabay and the Rambam, so we're saying that even if man is not the purpose, but still he has meaning in that he drives the...
Yeah, but it's like this. See, Ibn Gabay understood that man is the purpose from the God side. Ibn Gabay substituted man, God for man. Leshem was substituting man for God. In other words, Ibn Gabay understood that the purpose of creation was man, so man's a puppet. For Ibn Gabay, he is for these Kabbalah. But for the Leshem, the Kabbalah of reason, man drives things. It's man who drives the world.
In other words, the universe doesn't have to have a purpose, but within the framework of the universe, man is the main.
Right. In other words, what it says the universe have a purpose means that God doesn't have a purpose for one thing as opposed to something else. Everything is equal by God. Which means that ultimately the God concept universe is that everything should be equal. The fact that the universe is created seemingly unequal, but man drives the process towards equality. That's what the Leshem says. Now, Where this is basically the this is where actually we left off before 10 minutes of the previous year. Now, why did I want to speak about this? Because when we think about it, the concept here of form versus matter, we like to think that in a certain sense forms are connected with human intellect. Man conceives forms. Matter is something which is something outside of man's intellect. Nefesh and guf, the same thing too. And since the Leshem has spoken to us about Torah already, then we see that man's intellect, which operates, is very much involved in this process. Since the process is driven by an increasing domination and an increasing unification for the higher forms, so therefore man is much more intellectualizing the world. Now, I've maintained for a while, long time, as Tzaddik teaches us, that, in other words, that we shouldn't think that the Chidushim, the Navala, of the philosophers of Torah, the Chochmei HaTorah, is not something which, even though they might not have a direct, commensurable interaction with, nonetheless, in other words, there is a commensurability between the Chochmei HaTorah and, says Rav Tzaddik, the Chochmei in the world in general. Rav Tzaddik says, in other words, Rav Tzaddik says that if a person actually wants to see the Chochmei, the Torah, where they're holding, where they're standing, then we can look at the Chochmei, the Chochmei Masa'ilam. In other words, and that makes sense too, because if we're speaking about driving the entire world to perfection, then this is, even though it was done through Torah and Mitzvahs, this driving is an ontological drive, right? Which has to be reflected not only in the world itself, physical, metaphysical, but reflected in the thinking of people too. In other words, philosophy is also being driven in a certain sense, and science is being driven to a type of unity. I mean, physicists are always looking for what's called the grand unified fields theory. I mean, this is very, very important. The concept of unity, which drives man, which drives all of science, is really an expression of this. There's no, the Leshem himself is not the distinction between spirituality and physicality. He understands the entire world is interconnected. A notion of grand unified field theory just means is that we're constantly unifying more types of the world. I mean, Einstein unified matter with energy, right, through, you know, making the Newtonian equations covariant, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what I tried to bring out, right, I've mentioned several times, too, that many times this commensurability between Chochmei HaTorah and Chochmei HaOlam actually is very, very useful to try to understanding much better. It's called the Chochmei HaOlam. We spoke about it in the Rishimo General. I spoke about the fact that Descartes speaks about two aspects of God, an abstract perfection and governing the logic of the world, and that emerges around the same time at the Ari, through being Megala, revealing the Seder Tzimtzum, speaks about Mitzidoy Mitzidoy. That's the proper understanding of the Ari's first Hakdama to the Yitzchayim. Now, I want to claim that the fact is that the Leshem, of course, is the toward the end of the 19th century, the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, but we see that there, in fact, a person that seems to have a very, very, I mean, the Havdil, but in other words, a commensurable understanding of reality, is what I brought last week, was the philosopher Hermann Cohen, a very famous Neo-Kantian, who, by the way, wrote an interesting book called About Judaism, The Religion of Reason. Rabbi Yosha Besalovichik, Rabban Shi Yisrael, actually wrote his PhD thesis on Hermann Cohen. And if you look at the upcoming lectures, which Yisrael will be published, you'll see that Hermann Cohen actually had a certain chosen on him, an impression upon him. But Cohen understood that, you know, was after, in other words, Kant, in the end of the philosophy, Kant, the end of the 18th century, declared that basically, you know, scientific concepts are not inherent in the physical world, but rather they represent the structures by which man thinks. So in other words, when science speaks about time and space and all these categories, these are really the constructs of the way man thinks. One could say he imposes them on the physical world, but the thing in and of itself is something which is not inherently rational in and of itself. Now, I spoke about last week that there was an entire debate how to understand Kant. Is there really something to that? So Hermann Cohen comes along in the 19th century, and towards the end of the 19th century, and says, you want to know something? this distinction that people make between Kant's, you know, understanding of the way the human mind structures things in the physical world, right? In other words, basically, the thing in and of itself is somehow the goal, the idea. That's the site of the goal. In other words, when Kant thinks about, speaks about the world in and of itself, he just says that man, there's a process by man studies the world, intellectualizes the world, and by this, he brings knowledge to its final completion, its perfection. Which means that when Kant speaks about the thing to itself, he doesn't mean a physical object, the god of physicality. But what he means is this is the goal of the human intellectual understanding of the world. Man's intellectual apprehension of the world is basically a movement, it's a process. And the thing unto itself of Kant is just the goal of the process. Well, man will completely, I would say, in the words of Leshem, will to be yachet, to unify all aspects of reality. When reality is dichotomous, man's intellectual goals are still lacking. Now, I understand that really, I mean, Cohen, of course, wasn't a from Jew. I mean, his books suggest that he paid lip service to Jewish tradition. He saw Jews as more an abstraction of ethics and not really a historical and halachic reality. But nonetheless, what I want to claim is that if we understand Cohen, I think that really what the Leshem is saying, something very, very similar. I mean, lahavdil, meaning that what? The Leshem understands that the relationship between men and the world is a process. It's a process. It's a process by which man is constantly intellectualizing the world, and he's unifying more and more disparate aspects of reality, and bringing the world to its ultimate intellectual union, unity. In other words, the Lashem is not, now what's the chiddush here? What's the difference of this? This is what I want to bring out. Cohen understood that looking at form in the world, at the visualization of the world, independent of man's thought, ultimately was paganism. Was ultimately paganism. And I read from the book that I read from, right, last time, by Professor Gordon, right, that if a person understands that there's a, in other words, the concept that man is not involved in thinking through the process of intellectualizing the disparate parts of the world, I just say that all of man's understanding is inherent in the world, which is what people wanted to understand before Kant. This is, he says, a mistake shared by pantheism, Spinozism, mysticism, and all varieties of fanaticism. None of them allowed for the process ending of the thing itself as the infinite task. In other words, the Lashem understands he calls it an infinite task. The Lashem understands that what protects Judaism from Avodah Zarah, from pantheism, right? The Lashem is the heir to the Gaon to protect monotheism, the Rambam. That the Lashem understands that to attribute man's thought to something inherent in nature ultimately leads to pantheism, because it gives spirituality to the physical world. The spirituality that we see in the physical world is only because man thinks it through. Man is created in God's image, which means he has an intellect. To say that the world has an inherent spirituality and intellectuality independent of man's thoughts is ultimately pantheism, it's paganism. You substitute scholastic ideas for spirits and pagan gods is the same thing. In other words, the foundation of monotheism is the assertion of the intellect. It's the assertion of the intellect. It's man's intellect which drives the intelligibility, the intellectual and rational intelligibility of the universe. So, the position here of the Leshem was, of course, Lahavdil. What Hermann Cohen understood was the position of Kant in the 18th century. Kant was predicting the world from a new form of pantheism, a new form of Avodah Zarah. Scholasticism saw that the world itself is inherent with intellectual structures. It's minos. He who gives meaning to the little structures are derived from man who thinks these through, who's miyachid the world. And that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. To say the world contains intellectual structures independent of man, for all intents and purposes, is to say it contains independent of God. If that's true, that's Avodah Zarah, that's pantheism. So in other words, the lesson here is, in my opinion, making Judaism safe from monotheism. Namely, that in order to rid the world of pantheism, I have to assert the centrality of man's thoughts and intellectual processes through which he understands the world, the physical world, and he brings the world to its final unity, which was the conception of a Kodesh Baruch Hu when he created the world himself. This doesn't mean chas v'shalom the world's an illusion. You see, if the world's an illusion, like some people want to establish, in fact, that's the popular theory today, the world's an illusion. So what is man doing? He's not doing anything. It's all an illusion anyway. We're going to see that the Leshem's attack of those people who took the Tzimtzum to like a Pshutai and understood it to be a form of Avodah Zarah, of idolatry, is exactly the same thing too. The world is real. The world is real. To say the world's an illusion, right, is also a type of Avodah Zarah. But to say that what? Because you say the world doesn't exist, the world's all spirit. If you say the world's an illusion, it means the world is spirit. That means God's the world. That's Avodah Zarah. The idea is the world is real. It can't have what? Any objective, right, spirituality in it. Only if that is conceived by man's intellect. Just like the source of forms and intellect in the world is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so man who's created B'Tselem Elokim in the image of God also has to think through the intellectual unification of the world, of the cosmos. So therefore,
this is only true if I assert that this the kind of spirit that we're aware of as human beings is taka associated with divinity.
Is what?
It's truly associated with divinity.
No question about it. No question about it. No, but it's important. There's a God. In other words,
because for the number of time you might say that the spiritual experiences that we have are just they're mundane.
Nefshachayim.
Yeah.
I'm fine, but what I'm saying is, Nefesh HaChayim also understood that man b'Tzelem Elokim means God, man imitates God. All I'm saying is that, in fact, what we have here in the Leshem, right, is really the strongest philosophy of Torah, of Judaism, of a Torah theological ontology, which is completely cleansed from any aspect of paganism. Is purely an ontology of human thought, which imitates the thought of God. And through human thought, the world is brought to completion. The contention of an independent intellectual, spiritual structure in physicality, independent of man's thought, is basically a pantheism. Spinoza. Minos.
Why is the worshiping man also from the itself?
Man doesn't worship himself. Man is not an object. Man is only the subject, not the object. No one's worshiping man. One is only thinking. So therefore, right? So therefore, what we have is that here we have, this is what I wanted to claim. This is really what I read, and maybe I approached the speed of light last time, is that what I wanted to say is that we see that this understanding of the need that post-Kantianism saw in Hermann Cohen's writings as protecting the world from newer forms of pantheism which emerge in every generation, b'chol dor v'dor, so too, at the same time, the Leshem, in my opinion, Lahavdil, the Leshem, in my opinion, is actually asserting the same type of theology. The same type of theology. Rabbi, this was the Rambam. Salam Elokim means man's thought, man's ability to intellectualize. The Rambam says in chapter 68 and 69 in the Magen Avuchim, in the first Chedek, we did this, that in fact, the only difference between man and God and thought is that God always thinks inactive, and man sometimes thinks and doesn't think. This generation man never thinks, but in any case, the Leshem is really, basically, just the same concept that the Rambam had of man's divine-like thought capacity after the Tzimtzum. Okay, so this basically was really what I wanted to say last week. I think I said it in a little bit more detail. I hope I said it slower. But this finishes, really, the Shaar Beis. Now, everything I've said today, up till now, has been pretty basic. Beginning in the next lecture, the next year, which is Shaar Gimel, things are going to get extremely complicated. Because up till now, we've had concepts of distinguishing not between form and matter, at least conceptually, or spirit and physicality, but actually we're going to see that these concepts are actually much more complicated and interconnected, or let's put it that way, in other words, organized in a much more complex way than we ever even imagined. Much more. In fact, actually, in Shaar Gimel, I'm not sure really whether I understand. My understanding, but in other words, maybe I have to give over the shiur to somebody else. What I'm saying is, we're going to actually tax ourselves very strongly the next year. But until then, from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, Kodesh, Kol Tov.